come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with a pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage, as somebody said earlier tonight. We don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. talking about being proud and knowing your history. Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson with my co-host, Earlene Anthony, coming at you live from Skid Row Studios. Our call-in number is 800-893-9562. You can listen to us live or download our show and any past show by Googling in skidrow.la and hit Qumran Report. Also watch us live by hitting live video. Now, this week on the Qumran Report, we will hear some downtown community voices, and I'm delighted to have with us in the studio Silky Harris, and also her mom's is sitting in here with us, Miss Kitty. We'll also have in the studio musician Danny Singleton and Bobby Buck. Okay, let's start off with Silky. Silky, welcome to the Qumran Report.
Good afternoon or good evening.
Yeah. Hey, can you tell us a little about your background first?
My talent comes from inner family and being around music all the time. My mother is a musician, been around the world and played for Earl Bostic and many, many, many great musicians. Charles Brown was my cousin who did Merry Christmas, Baby. Mm-hmm. So I've always been around music, and my father was a drummer. My mother was a piano player and organist.
And you grew up out here in Los Angeles?
No, I grew up actually. The family got separated, but I was still in church, and that's where the music does stay and my foundation is from.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me exactly, how did you get off into music, and which is your favorite instrument that you play?
My favorite of all is piano. Mm-hmm. I love the organ, and I like guitar, and I've studied violin, and I love the flute, but somebody stole my flute, so I couldn't continue it.
What's the first instrument that you learned?
Guitar.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the musicians that influenced you?
Ashford and Simpson. I met them. Chaka Khan, I met her. And she was always somewhere where I had gone to that they said, oh, she was just here. And it was just like we was in a circle. Uh-huh. And she's amazing.
I know when I first met you, you had your group. You had a first time I think I read some spoken word with you, and you was behind. I think I sit in for a friend of ours, Ron Allen, the poet Ron Allen. He couldn't make it that day. I think that's the first time I met you.
That was.
I think he was performing up on Crenshaw and Slauson up in that area. You had a little band set up there, a little 4 or 5 piece band.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you still have that group?
The people have changed. We started off as Rhythm Spirit first, and then it became Rhythm Spirit Rhythm. Mm-hmm. Then when we came downtown after playing at Pershing Square, then it became, we played in a little Mexican place and we called it Earthquake Rhythm Spirit. Mm-hmm. Then Earthquake isn't around so much anymore in the band, so we went back to Rhythm Spirit Rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Now, we also have in the studio your mom's, Miss Kitty, sitting over there. You want to introduce her?
This is my mother that... my greater influencing probably more than anybody that as an artist, because she's my mom. And we got separated when I was little, but I always knew that she was as far as I knew, a singer, piano player, mm-hmm. and I wanted to be like her. Mm-hmm. So my father was cool about it. I mean, he didn't want me to be like her, but he had me study. And he wanted me to be a classical pianist. Mm-hmm. So he made sure I had lessons. And I had no problem with that. I mean, you couldn't get me off the piano.
Now, Miss Kitty, welcome to the Coon Rhyme Report.
Thank you.
Yes, tell us a little about your background and how did you get off into music?
Well, my background is similar to hers. We always had music around our family. Almost everybody in the family played. It was a big family and a lot of relatives and a lot of kids. Brother had a band when we were in our teens. And after that, he went into another field, and I just kept playing with different bands. I worked in one band 12 years, one about 20 years mm-hmm. before I started kind of going on my own.
Mm-hmm. What's your instrument?
Piano.
Piano? How did you learn? You learned on your own?
From playing the piano. Mm-hmm. From when I was about 6 or 7 years old, I played for funerals at the site on a little organ that you push your knee against the side of it. And it was an outside thing. And then that would push the air through to make mm-hmm. the sound. That was a little organ that looked like a piano. Mm-hmm. And that was back in Texas. Mm-hmm. And when I came to California, teenager going to junior high, I was in the band in school. Mm-hmm. And by the time I went to college, I was just playing in different bands.
Mm-hmm. And which one of the colleges you went to first?
City College.
LACC. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me ask you this. I always wondered about this. If a person learned to play the piano, do that mean that you automatically know how to play the organ?
Not necessarily.
Well, what's the difference between them?
Well, the organ, you can do a lot more with it. You can put your little finger on a note and hold it uh-huh. and do other things with your fingers. You can do a lot with your left hand, and you play the foot pedals.
Mm-hmm. Which one is it easier to move from? And like if a person, you have to learn piano first to play the organ.
Well, it's easier.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, who are some of the musicians that influence you?
Well, the musicians... just the ones that I would hear, mm-hmm. like on radio or sometime in passing going to another place. And I've met a lot of musicians. Mm-hmm. I met so many. I used to be the autograph collector. I would collect autographs mm-hmm. because they were all celebrities to mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get Sigurd, why don't you introduce your other guests over here, Danny Singleton.
This is Danny Singleton, the second member that I started the band with Jimmy O'Neill, and he was the second player in the band, so he made the third person, and he plays flute and guitar, and he's now singing mm-hmm. and doing pretty well.
Okay, so you guys going to do a song for us. You want to do a song live for us in a little while?
Well, I thought we were going to go over the Never Let a Day Go By since he wasn't here, but he came. Yeah. He's kind of come late, so he just asked me what we were going to do.
Okay.
And we could have done.
We can do it a little later on. Let me just get a couple more questions from you. Let's talk about the downtown community.
The Look of Love. I'm thinking of the Look of Love.
Look of Love.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but I think you put him on the spot because when I called him, he was resting, and then we didn't know he was going to show, so he's here, and they want something live.
Dependable musician. But look, let me ask you this: can you tell me?
He doesn't have to play. I can just sing something live. It doesn't matter.
What were your thoughts? What were your thoughts when you first came down to the Skid Row area?
What was my what?
Your thoughts. What was your thoughts on the Skid Row?
I was mad at my mama. She put me out.
Yeah.
But it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, was that your first time coming down to the Skid Row area?
Yes, it was. I never even dreamed that I would be down there.
And tell me, what was your when you first came down here, what was your thoughts on the Skid Row community?
The reason I came down was because somebody told me I could get a place, and it's lower money, and I hadn't been able to find another job. So that's the reason I came down. But when I went to the Skid Row SRO, it was very hard to get in, and somebody else told me, well, there's another place downtown that would be easier, and you can get in there 40 days, 40 nights. That was the Haywood. And that's what happened. And I was in there on the 41st night. Okay. I think the 40th night they called me, and I was there, and I was tired. And I think I slept for about a week.
Okay. Hey, Danny, let's switch over to Danny in a minute. Welcome to the Qumran Report. Yeah. I know we've had you on here as a guest before, but can you tell our listening audience a little about your background, how you got off into music?
Well, I was, I was raised on the East Coast, New Jersey, Philadelphia, and a couple other places. And I came out to here for the first time in 1986, the summer of 1986, and stayed for a little while, and went back east and came back out here in 1989. And I've been here ever since. But music, as far as getting involved in music, that started at the age of 12 when I received a guitar, my first instrument for Christmas. And
That's strange. That was my first instrument for Christmas. I didn't even know that was his first instrument.
Guitar.
Yeah.
What was it? A guitar?
Yes, it was a guitar.
I'm sure a lot of people get Christmas gifts, guitars and stuff.
Yeah. How did you transition off into playing the violin?
Violin?
No, I play violin.
It's a flute.
Yeah, he plays flute.
Well, that happened to be in the family. One of my sisters played a little flute, and all through school. And I tried to get with her like a jam session sometime, and I got curious about I said, let me check that out. That's how it started. That's how I really got involved with that at first. And then later, I didn't really think I would get into that, but I don't know. I heard something that just really got my attention later, and I decided to pursue that one too, that instrument. So,
You was telling me one time about the sound that you heard that turned out to be Herman Laws or something like that playing the flute. Great jazz.
Yeah.
Flute player. Let's move over to our other guest over here, Bobby. Bobby Buck, welcome to the Qumran Report.
Hello, Milton.
Yeah. look, because you one of the regulars on here that would have a regular section of the Qumran Report every third Monday. Yeah. Can you tell us a little about that and then talk to us about networking, the importance of networking?
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Melvin. Yes, what I want to do on each and every third Monday of the month is have my own 15 minutes of fame action talk with Bobby Buck. And what I want to do, I want to get everybody to get a little 15 minutes of fame, and talk about people doing real serious positive actions in the community and stuff. And also I want to be able to have homeless tips, some funny, some serious. like I tell people, you know, you go to Coffee Bean or Jack in the Box, they got the hottest faucet water. Y'all didn't hear that from me. But also, we want to talk about all type of things. We want to talk about something called Word Clear, which you define your everyday words. Because we say these words every day, but we don't really know the definition.
Oh, that sounds great.
And each word has more than one definition. Mm-hmm. So you got to know really what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And then also, we want to talk about different solutions and ways to help the homeless. And then also, I want to interview people and or organizations doing positive actions in the community and things like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Look, before we get off into the second half of our show, we're going to do some performances. Want to play a couple of nice songs that Silky have. But first, let's go to our community calendar, and then we'll come back with our in-studio guests.
This is the community calendar for the month of November. Wednesday, November the 27th. This is the day before Thanksgiving. The United University Church on the campus of USC will be having a Thanksgiving dinner and a short service. They're located at the corner of Jefferson and Hoover. And dinner will be served at 6 p.m. And all are invited to attend. For more information on this event, you can call 213-748-0209. And I'm sure there will be a lot of other places serving Thanksgiving dinner, but this is one that we have on the calendar. And this is, again, the United University Church on the campus of USC. On December the 7th, an evening of spoken word, art, and performances. This is a fundraising event to raise funds to continue printing and mailing the publications of Turning the Tide newspaper. So it will be free to over 1,700 prisoners. You are invited to join Slam Poetry Champs, Jerry Quickly, and Matt Cedillo, along with spoken word artists Lindsay, Krista Funny, and rapper Double Barrel, with General Taco of the Black Writers Liberation Party, and the founder of Turning the Tide, Michael Novak. They will be celebrating 25th anniversaries of Turning the Tide. The evening includes a buffet, a presentation of the Prison Nation poster art show, prison letters and art by Break the Lock, music, and much more. Everyone who attend will receive a commemorative book featuring writings from all 25 years of the publication. The location is the Westside Peace Center, 3916 South Sepulveda Boulevard in Culver City. KPFK is the media sponsor for it. Information on tickets and advertising in the book, please call 323-636-7388 or email anticristation_LA@yahoo.com. The Veterans Community Theater Workshop, and it's also open to non-veterans. The next 10-week session will start on Tuesday, January the 14th, 2014, from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. And this session will include training stage managers, also writing individual stage plays. There's a registration fee of $25, which will go for supplies. The location is the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard. This is near the corner of Santa Fe and Olympic. The Metro bus number 60 and 66 stops at the corner. For more information and registration, please call the office number 213-908-6587. Upcoming guests on the Qumran Report, Monday, December the 2nd, poet Grace from Tuesday Night Cafe Project. Also, Anthony Taylor and friends from LACC Theater Acting Academy. If you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com. Attention, Earlene Anthony. And the call-in number for this show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Earlene Anthony. Now, last Thursday, November the 21st, 2013, I attended a performance of Love on San Pedro by the Cornerstone Theater Company, and I had a chance to interview a member of the LAMP community, which was a co-partner for the event at the Los Angeles Mission. So here's Chief Program Officer for the LAMP community, Troy Vaughn. Okay, I'm down here. You're supporting the LAMP community, getting ready to go see the play, Love on San Pedro. And who am I speaking with here?
I'm Troy Vaughn. I'm the Chief Program Officer for the LAMP community.
Okay, yeah, he's the Chief Program Officer for the LAMP community. Tell us, what do that job entail?
Well, it entails being a servant to both our staff and our people that we serve in the community at large, and help to communicate the overall mission and vision of our organization, and to help be a leader in the area of permanent supportive housing, and in particularly meeting people where they're located and helping to provide services for them.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us what is the event? I know the LAMP is partnering over here. Can you tell us a little about that?
This production is entitled Love on San Pedro, and it basically is telling the story and quality of life that people have. For me, it really speaks to the importance of art and arts community as it relates to the investment it makes for the people here on Skid Row. I think that a lot of times we look at this population with a blight, and we don't see the quality of talent and purpose that people have down here. And so for me, this play helps communicate that purpose, and that people do have something that is tangible and valuable to offer our community.
I know you got a couple of the LAMP members that's in the cast also, but let me ask you this. How do programs and cultural arts like this contribute to the concept of recovery?
Well, I think it provides so many different invaluable aspects to a person's overall restitution as a person, in that it helps people with focus. I think one of the things about arts, I'm an artist myself, and what I like about it is it helps me to focus and relax and be able to hone in on latent talents and expression. And so one of the things that we love our arts program, and that it helps to bring balance in people's lives. It has great value. I think music matters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. Tell us your name again. We're looking forward to the production and watching some of the LAMP artistic work. Now, also at the same event, I had a chance to hear some of the music provided by Silky Harris.
Love, you're a chase from afar. To try when your arms are too weary to reach the unreachable star.
Okay, Silky, once again, welcome to the Coonrod Report. I think that was Danny playing the flute in the background on there.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Talk about that. That's a beautiful song. You know, I love that song. Listening, quite a few groups have recorded that. Can you talk about that a little
bit? Reason I picked the song was because it, you can call it old school if you want, but it's still the same message, mm-hmm. to keep going with your dreams.
And the name of it is?
The Impossible Dream.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I picked it. Mm-hmm. And because of the play, the play was about people on Skid Row losing their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was another reason why I picked it.
Mm-hmm. Now, look, let me ask you this. You're a musician down in the Skid Row area dealing with a band leader. What's the biggest challenge of trying to have a band in the Skid Row area?
The biggest challenge? First of all, to get them to follow you.
What do you mean by that?
Because everybody has their own ways and their own walks and their own mm-hmm. talks. But to get them to follow you, to get them to trust you, to trust your decision,
mm-hmm.
For them to realize that you have them in your mind, in the big picture. In other words, I care about them just as much as I care about myself, and I don't want to see them go down the wrong road. Music is a way to keep your focus on your own life, and it's, of course, a very generating positive thing in your life. Mm-hmm. If you pick music, I mean, it's such joy.
How about, do you deal with a lot of musicians that's in recovery?
Of course they do. And some are really attentive, and some are a little confused, and some I'm not sure if they're focused, and they have to decide. I'm not any different than them. I can lose my focus at times,
mm-hmm.
but for some reason God has put it in me where it just can't come out. So if I fall down, I get up, and that's the way my life is. I might fall down, but I'm going to get up, and I am still a very good leader.
Mm-hmm. So
I ask God every day to strengthen me for that.
Mm-hmm. You see a lot of talent in the Skid Row area?
I see a lot of talent falling off. One just went to jail, and I've been trying to pull him for a long time, and he knows it. And he says, yeah, Silky, I know I should be doing this. I said, you've got a God-given talent, and God wants you to use it. And he's using me to bring it out.
Is he a singer, a musician?
Oh, he sings. It's better off. Yeah. But he's in jail. So I guess he's singing there, but he's probably shriveling up because I just told him, I said, this is just ridiculous what you're doing out here. And I just talked to him, and he just went to jail.
Yeah.
I was going to go see him. I'm going to go see him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm trying to find out his last name. That's how I don't really know him that well.
Mm-hmm.
But I was on my way to rehearsal that morning. We'd been working on the laying out of Mystery Love, and I kept seeing him. And I was looking for background singers, but when I heard him sing, he said, oh, I can sing. And we're walking down the 6th Street, San Pedro. That's mm-hmm. that's his hangout. And he was just singing his butt off some church music. And I couldn't believe the voice. I said, I haven't heard a voice like that in a long time. I mean, you know, in person. I'm not talking about something that's already on wax. I can't express how good he was.
Let me ask you this. Let's talk about some musical forms for a while. What is the difference between jazz, and gospel, and all like that?
Well, I'm not the perfect chief on it, but basically gospel comes from the God-given foundation and form, and it's always about the news, good news to his people and other people, anybody that wants to be directed to him. Mostly a following of Christ, of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So the gospel, where if you compare it with contemporary Christian music, the gospel and the sanctified music that I come from, it's a little stronger, and the heartbeat is a little much more stronger.
What do you think about when you think about rap music and hip hop?
What I think about it, it has its place. It's fun, but sometimes it can be a little bit negative, and I think you have to be careful of that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's hear one of your songs, and then we'll come back and talk
this,
about it.
This particular first one, Mystery Love.
Yeah.
It did have a rap, and it's too bad that the rap isn't on there. I do like rap.
It might be the second one, but we'll see. You tell me what this is. The first one.
Oh, okay.
change water into wine, baby, baby, baby. Mysteries happen all the time. Scooby dooby dooby. Love, 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 love me. Hey, you. Mama, you came into my
beautiful song. What's it called? Mystery Love?
That's Mystery Love. There's a lot of things going on in that song, and you can hear the background, and I did put in all the parts. He did the flute. Tommy helped me out on the laying it out, and he was the engineer.
And you wrote the lyrics? And
I wrote
that?
The whole song.
Yeah, how did it come about? You know, what was the
I actually wrote it a long time ago. Oh, inspiration is my boyfriend's.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the song is about. It's talking about each boyfriend that I have or had. They're all gone now. I have 11, and this one guy said, "Can I be yours?" I said, "You'd be number 12." But anyway, it's about you want the one that can change water into wine.
Mm-hmm.
And not all guys think that way, but me being a church girl, that's what I wanted.
Let me ask you this. Your process for creating, do you start with lyrics or you start with the music first and then add the lyrics?
Oh, I definitely start with the title. Mm-hmm. And then definitely start with the title. And then it takes a while to write the words, but you get a little groove into the music. And then you start maybe working on the music and then the words that come.
Mm-hmm.
As you get the melody, you still want to have a halfway decent melody.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while to write that song.
Now, let me ask you this. Why is, most of your great songwriters also keyboards and piano players?
It's easy to write when you got a keyboard. I mean, you're your own writer. You can write your own music.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of having somebody else do it for you. So I guess keyboard players are creative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't know how to write without a piano.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. So when you have a song, the lyrics first and then...
I mean, there's people that came to me that asked me to write their song out. And when I listen to it, I'm like, I don't know what you're putting down. I say, put it on tape so I can write out the notes. And there's nothing there because they don't have nothing to work with. Piano is an instrument that's full of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And you could take one note and play it with another note and play it with another chord and put it on tape. And then you've got a song.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to work with that song, get a quality out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this song sounds so simple, but it really took me a long time to write that. And mm-hmm. it's a simple, simple song, but yet not mm-hmm. simple.
Now, Danny, how did you work the flute into it? Did that come later? You improvised it in after you heard the song or what? How?
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. Yeah, it came later. Later after, he had the song put together.
Yeah, it took a while before we even put the flute on there.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time. We did it over and over and over and over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's hear another song. Let's hear the second song, and then we'll talk about that.
Okay. I'll tell you what's up. Your problems
Silky.
I really like that one.
What's the name of that one?
That's Never Let a Day Go By, and Tommy was the one that did the guitar licks on it, and he did a superb job. And we created it. It is a remake, but we created it, and he keeps saying, "That's your song." Mm-hmm. And we really worked on it hard till he was just wore out.
That sound kind of bluesy between
everybody
the
says it does
blues
sound blues and gospel, and it is a crossover. It's very much a crossover. When my sister heard it, she said, "It sounds like I'm making love to Jesus." But it is a love song, mm-hmm. and it is maybe I didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say about that, but it is a bluesy song. You can take it to a club and play it, mm-hmm. Especially your intro with the pimps and hoes. But how straightforward can you be?
Mm-hmm. Let me open up the round table so I can get our other guests. I want to talk about for a while, what are some of the major needs in the Skid Row area for musicians? Let's talk about that. You want to start off?
The advantage that we do have right now in this, the Lamp Village, allowing us to go over there to their rehearsing studio, has been such an upper for me that I couldn't even express my gratitude to them. And we need other places like that and in recording areas.
Mm-hmm. And rehearsal areas?
That's a rehearsing area which can be used before recording if you have your own equipment. Mm-hmm. But we could really use a recording area, some place where there is equipment there already, mm-hmm. to get something done. I mean, I've heard a lot of people have, "I've got this song, I got that song," but they don't have a way of laying it down. Tommy was really a gift to me to do this under his company. And, mm-hmm. His projects are full right now. He's got a full plate. He couldn't even... wanted to do another song. It's like, "I'll get to you, but I don't know when."
Well, that's one of the things that we're working on at the Vortex right now, to develop and utilize the studio over there that's being constructed for community musicians.
Put me on your list, don't forget.
Yeah, hope to have that rolling. What are you, Danny, what do you think about some of the major needs for musicians in the Skid Row area?
Now, I really never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with what Silky was saying.
Mm-hmm. At one time, I know when we first started Drama Stage Coonrod, we used to talk to a lot of musicians, because there's a lot of talent down here,
yes.
in this recovery zone.
Mm-hmm.
And at that particular time, you had a lot of bands down here. They were bumping heads. They was fighting for the same producers, mm-hmm. and little spots down here. Mm-hmm. And we had even thought about trying to sit down and form some kind of alliance or union or something like that for these musicians in the downtown.
I had one vocalist that told me I couldn't use his guitar player, which I didn't know that he couldn't help me. And I was like, we all need to be helping each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And the guitar player was like, "Well, I'll help you. Don't worry."
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't, you know. And we need to be helping each other. I don't own anybody in my group. I want them all to go to other people and play anywhere where they can. Why would I stop them?
Mm-hmm.
And, I know big companies, yes, they do say that, but that's for a whole different reason. When we're down here, we're still on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to that top, and then and they asked us not to play anywhere. Okay, we'll do that. When you're already making that much money, right now we're not making anything.
Well, let me ask Bobby. This one can bring Bobby in. He's the networking expert. Look, what are your thoughts on that? The possibility of getting these musicians to work together for the good of all as a unit. How can that?
The main way I think we need to do it is kind of start maybe a once a month get together with all the people that's involved with all types of entertainment, be it actor, singing, poetry, kind of like maybe like a open mic type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also seem like we can get these nonprofits that have their information together where we can recruit people inside entertainment come do workshops. Mm-hmm. So that way we can tap into other information, other resources, and plus work on getting more advertisement for the artist in Skid Row. Mm-hmm. Advertisement. And I got my own social network, which I'm going to start working with that, you know, in January, you know, promoting my what I have to offer. Along with, we can collaborate together. Who knows, might get a Skid Row record label type thing going.
Well, let me ask you this. So many, you know, we was in here, we was talking to Dante and other musicians in here, and we was talking about other subjects, and we was talking about how so many talented musicians are caught up into the substance drug life and all like that. How can we work all of this networking thing into the concept of recovery that would really help these musicians realize their talent and, you know, transition on back into the community?
What I think is, like, with me, myself, I was a 18-year drunk myself and everything. And a lot of people who are highly creative or in the entertainment field, they're struggling with a lot of creativity in their mind, and they're trying to find a way to suppress it because so much trying to getting toward this. Everybody going toward the same little spot. Trying to get in and maneuver, and people fighting. So some people just need somebody to listen to them. And sometimes, like I said, I want to do interviews like I was doing. I want to start picking that up, doing what's your story. And sometimes people just need to get that information out. Mm-hmm. Then once they get it out, they can kind of repair their own damage. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I was mad. That's why I'm doing this. And then also we're going to have like other people come in with way to happiness type information, stuff for them to read, and they can start, you know, figuring out the better way for them to get a better outlook on life.
Okay. Now, Miss Kitty, I want to ask you this. And when you were playing music, you know, in your prime, had a lot of musicians around you, was it the same kind of conflict and competition among the musicians then, or was it more unified?
It was the same.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk about that a little while? What was it to you?
Well, you could be playing in an establishment and take a break 15 minutes or 20 minutes, and somebody else could take your place with a whole band. Your band is outside taking an intermission, mm-hmm. and somebody else took your place.
Mm-hmm. That happened to me.
Or you go make an audition at a certain place, and before you can get there, somebody else has that job. Mm-hmm. So some people don't tell you where they are working. They just say, get on the freeway and follow me. Mm-hmm. It may be 45 miles.
Well,
they won't tell the people where they're going because they'll get there before they take the job.
Well, let me ask you this. How about the substance abuse war? I know then the major thing was the alcohol, a little marijuana. Most musicians couldn't afford the cocaine, and you didn't have crack around then and stuff like that. What would you think the difference between the challenge that a musician had to deal with then and now?
Well, you had to give that up if you're going to be a true musician, mm-hmm. and play notes that made sense. Mm-hmm. You can't be out of your head, mm-hmm. on right. anything.
That's a good answer.
Mm-hmm. Was that for the gospel musicians or the jazz musician? That was part of that world, right?
The jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Not the gospel.
Okay, the gospel.
Not the gospel.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let's get that clear.
Okay.
Not the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Look, let's move into a little quick live performance of what you and Danny are going to play for us over there.
I don't know, because...
Let's get ready and roll. We winding down. What are you going to play over there for us, Danny?
you know, on a clear day?
No.
What are you going to play, guitar or flute?
What would you like me to play?
Yeah, let's.
Why don't we play the Papa Dog song? I call it P-Funk song now.
Oh, okay. Let's get to him.
This is an original also.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll remember it. I'm used to playing keyboard, so it's too bad I couldn't brought the keyboard here.
Well, tell us a little about
Papa Dog song.
Yeah.
It's just a little fun little dance song. This song is All I Want to Do Is Dance.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. The mic is yours.
Let's see, we're starting on B flat minor. B flat major, I'm sorry. Then minor. Then go to the A minor. Remember the song?
Papa, I walked down the street alone. Papa throws from his limo window cars to the crowd. Loving. I needed your hugging. I needed your kissing too. What am I gonna do? Will you come out? Come out and dance with me. I say, all I wanna do is, all I wanna do is dance with you. Come on, baby. Home alone. Papa throws to me some more, and now you can hear it in my song. Love, all I wanna do, and I needed your hug and your kiss and your love, and I'm missing. What's a girl to do? Oh, will you come on out?
Anyway, and I don't want to take them all through it because I don't want to put them on the spot. But anyway,
yeah, Dana Singleton,
yeah,
Sickie Harris, something like that. Look, we still got a little time on our hand. Sickie, what you got coming up? You got any events coming up soon?
I do play at the Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church. I help them with the gospel. They're helping me because I'm learning from them. And
where are they located?
That's on 1448 South Avalon. It's the corner of Avalon and Vernon. Mm-hmm. From the downtown area, it's easy. You catch the 51 or the 52 going east, and it turns on San Pedro, and it lets you off right on Vernon. Look at the Kenny corner of that street, and you'll see Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church. Everybody's invited, and the pastor always says you can go in the refrigerator.
Yeah. So, you play every Sunday?
I play there every Sunday.
When? What time?
We have 11 o'clock service, and then we have events just about every other Sunday at 3 or 3:30. Mm-hmm. Different events that other churches come by. We have 10 o'clock this morning. Thanksgiving morning, we have a 10 o'clock service for all the people that want to go and praise God and say thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to do. We'll be singing that song. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Before you leave, finish up, I want to ask you, you had a chance to see Love on San Pedro.
Yes, I did. I gave it 4.5 stars. It's very, very, very good. The only reason I didn't fill up the other half is because I didn't finish watching the play. My mom was here, and I was tired, and we had a full day. But I have planned to go back and see it. I don't know if it's still playing.
Yeah, I think yesterday was the final.
Yeah, my schedule right now has been quite full with Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church and then trying to do some of the things that I've been doing personally. And finishing school, I've gone back to school, so, you know. But the play is very good.
What are you taking in school?
I'm trying to pass algebra. Still trying to pass it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move over to Miss Kitty. What are your final comments? Taking time for us.
Oh, I've enjoyed being here. I always love talking about music and listening about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you.
You want to holler out at Rose Gale?
Oh, yes. Hi, Rose. Wish you could have been here. I miss you so much. Rose always had something going for the musicians.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we didn't talk about her influences, because Duke Ellington was influenced for her, but also for me too. Mm-hmm. Because she helped me get vocally started, and we sang songs and went through all the standards. And Duke Ellington, Staten Doll was one that we worked hard on.
What do you like about Duke Ellington?
I like his piano playing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the leadership that he has as a band. And James Brown too.
Yeah, I mean, but Duke Ellington, he, I mean, he dealt with a big band, right?
Yeah, that's a different kind of band.
And but, Count Basie and all like that, yeah, the real large band.
Very large band.
Okay, Danny, well, your closing comments, what do you want to say out there to the audience?
Well, come on out to the Church of the Nazarene at 6 of San Pedro. We're there every Sunday with a service, two services, 8:30 and 11 p.m.
Also,
you have a
karaoke.
Oh, yeah. Wednesday night.
Yeah, karaoke Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
That's the first church I've ever been into that has karaoke there. It's great. Oh. Mm-hmm. That has all the songs. You know, it's not just gospel for you people out there. It's not just gospel. Go out there and do all your popular songs.
Okay. Bobby, your closing comments.
All right. Yes, I just want to give a shout out to OG for Skid Row Clothing Line, Ceasefire for doing what they're doing in the community, the Nation of Islam with the Peace Rides. They went from L.A. to San Bernardino yesterday. And also I spent time with Taco at his birthday party at Fernando's with the Black Riders Liberation Party. And also I'm working with Hope for Life Foundation. They're having a dinner tomorrow night. You're ready for a community day.
Okay.
I want to say happy birthday to General Taco also. I didn't get a chance to really meet him, but I wanted to. So, you know, happy birthday, General Taco.
Okay.
And, you know, enjoy your birthday and enjoy your life.
Right. Okay, we may have some of them in the studio with us next week.
Okay.
Okay, Arlene.
Just want to wish everybody happy Thanksgiving, also a blessed Thanksgiving. Go out and enjoy dinner with your family and friends. And also to the homeless people out there, we love you and we won't forget about you. And there, I know areas in the downtown Skid Row area, some of the missions will be serving, but we will remember you all year round, not just on Thanksgiving Day.
Right on.
Okay, then, and yeah, come on out to the Peace Center on the campus of USC this coming Wednesday, 6 o'clock for Thanksgiving dinner right at the corner of Hoover and Jefferson at the United University Church. Now, next week on the Coon Round Report, we will have some members from LACC Acting Academy with my special guest, Anthony Taylor, and poet Grace from the Tuesday Night Project. I would like to extend a special thanks to Silky Harris and her mom, Miss Kitty, over here, Danny Singleton, Bobby Buck, and my co-host, Earlene Anthony. Please listen to past shows of the Coon Round Reports on iTunes, Facebook, Stitcher, and skidrow.la. Thank you for tuning in to the Coon Round Report. And from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. I leave you with Dr. King talking about being proud and knowing your history.
Thank you.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with a pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
O-W from the wall to the door. What you wanna do? Do you want some hardcore? Do you like it raw? South Olive, downtown LA. Skid Row Studios, motherfucker.
Melvin Ishmael Johnson inviting you to listen to the Coltrane Report Monday at 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time at www.skidrowstudios.com. We discuss issues that's relevant to the Skid Row and downtown community. Tune in and check us out.
Hey, this is the coach listening to Hajad's LA every Sunday at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We talk all things football, from high school football, arena football, college football, pro football, Canadian football, any type of football you can think of. We talk about it right here from downtown LA, Skid Row Studios.